It's the weekend, time for rest, relaxation, and another edition of New Wisco Weekend, a weekly look at issues, arts, entertainment, culture, and everything that makes New Wisco home. Now, here's your host, Northeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief, Lisa Hale.
Welcome to New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. On today's episode, we take a closer look at the largest fly-in in the world. EAA Air Venture 2024 officially kicks off tomorrow with air shows, vendors, and throngs of visitors to Whitman Field in Oshkosh. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot takes a look at how weather affects pilots and flying. Todd Michaels has ideas for your EAA playlist. Conrad Krieger will join us not only with a feature about high school athletes staying fit in the summer, but he also brings us an interview from Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on a cigar-centered event in the Fox Valley. A little bit later, our music segment features The Big Lonesome. Learn which state influences the band's name and music. Correspondent Amanda Nimmer waxes philosophical on ranch dressing, the Truth Booth returns, and I'll bring you stories on PTSD and veterans and tourism. Speaking of tourism, Winnebago County had a record-breaking year for tourism last year, according to Discover Oshkosh. They say Winnebago County generated $553 million in economic impact in 2023. That's up from $524 million in 2022. That's a 5.5% increase in 1 year. Wisconsin as a state set a record for tourism in 2023 as well, generating $25 billion, up from $23.7 billion in 2022. Amy Albright is the executive director of Discover Oshkosh.
Of course, Winnebago County is thrilled to be part of a record-breaking year for the whole state of Wisconsin. And Winnebago County also broke records, which is great.
Albright said everyone benefits from tourism increases. She said Wisconsinites would have to pay an additional $660 per year to maintain the current level of government without tourism funds.
Tourism helps everybody. Another thing that I really like to talk about is that, you know, businesses in Oshkosh in Winnebago County do better when tourism thrives because that's just more customers for them. So if residents want to enjoy great things, the tourists really help keep those great things alive.
Albright used the EAA Air Venture fly-in as an example of a tourism-driven event that benefits Winnebago County all year long. The event brings 600,000 people to Winnebago County, but operates year-round.
But they're here year-round driving traffic and boosting the economy all year-round. Having a world-class aviation museum, in our backyard is amazing. It's pretty incredible.
During the pandemic, tourism destinations, large events, travel, it all came to a halt. Albright says we got to see just what the world would look like without tourism.
COVID taught us that, you know, we don't want to take tourism for granted. Whether we liked it or not, we got to see what the world looked like without tourism. And, you know, it really hurt our economies and it really hurt our local businesses. And it helped us put a light on why tourism matters.
Albright says tourism in Winnebago County supported 4,296 full and part-time jobs and almost 200,000 jobs throughout the state. In Winnebago County, tourism generated $31.9 million in local and state tax revenue in 2023, and tourism across the state resulted in $1.6 billion in local and state tax revenue last year. EAA Air Venture, Crossroads 41, and Life Fest are just a few of the large tourism draws to Winnebago County.
Lots of exciting things, new restaurants, new developments happening downtown, just lots of things to be excited about. We just say, you know, Oshkosh, a lot of ways is kind of having its moment, and we just can't wait for it to get better and better.
More information about Wisconsin tourism and its economic impact can be found at the Travel Wisconsin website. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale.
Fly me to the moon, let me play among the stars.
How does the inactivity of summer, or maybe even the extreme activity of summer, affect high school athletes? New Wisco Weekend's Conrad Krieger reports.
already midway through the summer, so how can you prepare for high school sports? Mark Hewson with Bellin Sports Medicine shares how young athletes can mentally prepare for the upcoming season. Go on a vacation, take a break, reset the mental, so when fall sports come, you be prepared.
You know, I think we are getting kids and coaches and helping adults understand what you need to do to prepare to be ready, and then what you need to do during the sport, and what do you need to do maybe in an off season. Let's make sports fun. But you know, it's a beautiful, I'm standing outside. It's a beautiful day today. And we also need to encourage kids to take, you know, that time off to do a family vacation, you know, go up to the cabin or just hang out, but put down all the balls and say, you know what, for this week, we're not going to worry about football or basketball or whatever. And we're going to go kayaking, and we're going to go fishing, and we're going to go on the boat and tube, and we're going to enjoy the weekend and enjoy the summer. It's so short as it is. We just need to do more of that. The mental break of not having to, oh, hey, I gotta put my bag together, and then I have to get up early in the morning because the games start at 7:30, three games today. And geez, what did we have a weekend off this whole summer? And sadly, it doesn't. I mean, and I trust me, I'm one that loves sports, but I think we just have to, we all have to put this kind of in perspective and say, you know what, when are we going to take off also time? Just like we put down on that third weekend of July, we're going to have a baseball tournament. When are we taking time off for our family to say we're going to go away?
Between young athletes and the Green Bay Packers, you still need time to go out and have fun.
Before we know it, fall will be here, and we love it, the Green Bay Packers and camp and all that kind of stuff. But I guarantee you those pro players are all taking their time off the 6 weeks that they have before preseason camp starts.
That was Mark Hewson from Bellin Sports Medicine. The WIAA has announced a new point system. Brandon Kennard from NBC 26 shares how that can affect your division in high school sports.
We see that around the area where certain dominant programs stay dominant because people from other districts want to go play for those sports programs. So what the WIAA has done is a point system. So basically you get 4 points for a state championship, 3 for a state runner-up finish, 2 for a state semifinal appearance, 1 for a state quarterfinal appearance. If you accumulate 6 or more points over a 3-year window, then you would move up a division. So now we're seeing schools like Brilliant Boys Basketball, for example, which won a state title 2 years ago, graduated a great senior class, and didn't even make it out of the regional last year. They're moving up from Division 3 to Division 2 as a school with just over 300 kids. They're going to be playing against schools like Ashwaubenon and West Apeer, which have about 1,000 kids. Now, that's only for the postseason. This doesn't change your regular season, your conferences, but when you get to the playoffs, the regionals, the sectionals, maybe state, these are the size schools that now a school like Brilliant, to use them as an example, is going to be competing against.
But what if you just had one great graduating class?
We might see some tweaks to the point system. We might see a longer window than 3 years, maybe extend it to 4 years, 5 years, because then you get a larger sample size of, is this program really that consistently good, or did they just have a great class, a great stretch here that caused them to go over the 6 points?
That was Brandon Kennard from NBC 26. With New Wisco Weekend, I'm Conrad Krieger.
You're listening to New Wisco Weekend on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS.
Ah, the Midwest. When it comes to the Midwest, there are a lot that can come to the mind first. Some outsiders like to think of the cows. Some think of the farms. If some think of the cheese, especially here in Wisconsin. And others tend to forget the ranch. No, not the ranches out west. We're talking ranch dressing. Ranch is a staple in the Midwest. It's not just for vegetables. It's for pizza. It's for wings. It's for dipping your chips in. Ranch. A Midwest tradition. At least that's how I feel. So you're probably sitting here going, why is Amanda talking about ranch? Like many here in the Midwest, many here in Wisconsin, many here in this room where I am sitting alone, ranch is a beautiful passion. And that means we don't just accept any kind of ranch. Types matter. And the reason I'm talking about this is because I accidentally stumbled upon a ranch ranking from a 2019 newspaper article originally done by the Chicago Tribune, but then printed in the Wisconsin State Journal. And it angered me. These rankings are atrocious. If you are any type of ranch connoisseur, you would know that Kraft Classic Ranch in the bottle does not belong anywhere near first place.
And yet here I'm looking at it, plain as day, in second. Now, of course, the beauty of Rant would be to make it at home yourself. But if you don't have that option, you don't know how, you don't have time, and it's just easier to grab a bottle, let me tell you, Kraft Ranch, that is not the ranch to go. That I wouldn't even consider as ranch. So let's think about ranch that you have to buy bottled in the store. Most people will go and say Hidden Valley. In fact, I did a quick poll yesterday, and everyone basically said Hidden Valley. There's a couple who said Wishbone. And one who said Newman's Own, which is a good brand to buy simply because all profits go to charity. But the ranch that you can skirt by that gets closest to restaurant quality is going to be Ken's Steakhouse Ranch. It has a rich flavor. Its consistency is quite close, not as runny as the house ranch is. And the appearance in the bottle, it just screams delicious. Just by looking at a bottle of ranch in the store, you can tell whether or not it's going to be good. You can shake it around and see the consistency, because if it's going to be really, really thick, I'm telling you, that's not good. You want it to be more runny. You want it to look homemade. And Kraft Ranch is not. Now, I'd like to say that I don't have anything against Kraft. They make great products. But the ranch is not one of them. Now, did you just sit here and listen to a mad woman rant about ranch for the past couple minutes? Yes! Did, because it's a passionate subject for some of us. I judge restaurants by how good their ranch is. Because if you have gorgeous, beautiful, homemade food, but then you went and bought cheap ranch, the respect is gone. Quite frankly, it makes me sad because you worked so hard to make your food delicious just to serve it with something so subpar and with zero love from you. House-made, yes, is the best way. And when it comes to a house-made ranch that I will go back for again and again and again, in this state of Wisconsin, in the Northeast Division, the answer, my friends, is Friar Tuck's. And I will not skirt back on that. Friar Tuck's has some of the best ranch I've ever had. But I'm always open to try others. So think about that at EAA this week, folks. Which food truck do you think is going to have the best ranch? Let's explore it together. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer. And there you go.
Well, it started out down a dirty road.
When we come back to New Wisco Weekend, Smoke on the River comes to the Fox Valley. Then Brittany Merlot looks at severe weather and EAA.
And as we go to break, I continue to share great songs you can add to your EAA playlist, like this one from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. New Wisco Weekend continues in just a bit.
The world gets still. I'm learning to fly, but I ain't got wings.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. More on EAA. Our cover story is coming up. But first, here's Conrad Krieger with a look at a different type of event in the Fox Valley.
Looking for a cool event this summer and like cigars? We go to a segment from Nightlight with Pete Schwaba with co-owner of Appleton Cigar Company, Norm Kapitsky. Norm shares information on Smoke on the Fox, July 30th in downtown Neenah.
It's a multi-vendor event, so every one of my reps, or as many as we can, is going to come and showcase the brands that they represent. They're going to have samples coming out, and we're going to have basically a cigar that goes with your ticket from every one of these vendors. When we get done with that, we're hosting the event at Lion Steel Brewery in Neenah, there by downtown Neenah. It's okay. A great business that does a lot of good for our community. And then at the end of the night, we're going to do a charity auction, so you'll be able to collect some pretty cool bourbons or rare cigars, limited edition cigar culture swag. And then the proceeds of that are going to go to Fox City's Veterans Council. Nice. And they do a fair bit of work in the Appleton area, housing at-risk vets that come back struggling with PTSD, military injuries, et cetera.
Very nice. So it's for a good cause. So check it out. It's July 30th from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m., right?
Yep.
And it's at
Lionsdale.
And you're going to have food trucks there?
Yep.
So if you get really buzzed like I did when I told that story before about me smoking a cigar and I had to pull over and feast on Greek food, they're going to have a food truck right there. Where's the food truck going to be from? What kind of food?
Well, we've got a taco truck coming in, and then we've got, nice. we're working on getting a Cuban sandwich truck coming
sweet.
In. So there's one around the valley. I haven't pinned down the name, but I'm told they're the best in the Midwest. So we're working on that. And then probably a barbecue truck, Hogtied or something like that.
And how much does it cost? Is it...
It's a $100 ticket, and you're going to leave the event with about $300 in cigars. You get a couple beer tickets, try different products from Lion's Tail, and then...
You have to go. You're going to make money on this,
You're going to make money. So.
It says it's $100 for the first 100 people.
Yep.
Is that right? Okay, yep. And then $150 for the last 50 people. So get there early.
That's right.
Get there often. Bring the whole family. What's too young to smoke a cigar, in your opinion?
So legal in the state, legal in the nation is 21 to be able to buy. And so we, yeah.
What's a good drink, Norm, that goes good with a cigar?
Bourbon on ice.
Bourbon on ice. Okay.
Yep. Yep.
Whiskey neat or scotch neat?
There'll be some that will be their preferred palate, but okay. The most common drink with cigars is bourbon on ice.
Is that right?
Oh, by a long shot.
Why? I would think the ice would be.
It slightly mellows it enough. So you don't have the strength and bite of a bourbon neat and the strength and bite of a cigar. So you're kind of tempering them both off of each other.
Maybe I was doing that wrong. I haven't had a glass of, I like good Irish whiskey.
Yeah.
So, all right. So you're going to watch like an old Western or something.
That's right.
With some good bourbon on ice. That's an evening, folks. Now you throw in one of these, a cigar, and you're all set.
That was Norm Kapitsky, co-owner of the Appleton Cigar Company, on Nightlight with Pete Schwalba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on WISS.
I've been around for you, been up and down for you, but I just can't get any relief.
Rock your wings.
Pilots from across the world know that phrase as they fly into Whitman Airport this week. More than 10,000 airplanes descend on these runways, giving it the world's busiest airport title for a good reason. And some pilots headed there this year have never landed there before.
And that's one thing I like to do is I like to go down on runway 927 and watch pilots try to land, because some of them get awful funny. You know, I mean, there's pilots out there, quite frankly, who maybe put in 40 hours a year flying, and then they come flying in here, you know, where the spacing is half-mile spacing rather than one-mile spacing, and you're landing on the green dot, you got somebody right behind you that's landing on the orange dot, you know?
So you can imagine that the weather plays a major role. A private pilot that's been attending EAA AirVenture for many years...
You're flying in from like Southern Illinois or something like that. I'm kind of looking at not just the weather at Oshkosh. I'm looking at the weather all along the way. And that's going to kind of dictate what my route is, because I might have some spots on the east side of the state. It might be IFR. So that's telling me as a pilot, hey, I'm going to stay to the west side and then maybe join up at Dubuque, which is one of the kind of the points that people kind of meld into for the Fisk arrival, which is the VFR arrival, most famous known for Oshkosh adventures.
What is VFR and IFR, you may ask? Well, VFR stands for Visual Flight Rules. This means that you can only fly where you can see, basically not in a cloud. IFR stands for Instrument Flight Rules. These planes use the instruments inside to understand how their plane is flying.
When I did it, it was a little hair-raising. But actually now it's not that bad. It's pretty easy. They've got it set up with the new NOTAMs and that. You used to start at Fisk. Now you're starting all the way down at Green Lake. So that's a lot more lineup time to get in place and ready to land. You know, when it was at Fisk, I mean, you're 8 miles away, you know?
And regardless of experience or space from landing, the winds threaten all planes. Each aircraft has its own crosswind component with a maximum wind that it can withstand. So pilots are looking at the maximum gusts and the direction to make sure it's safe for them to land within the structural limits of their aircraft.
If the winds are only at 5 knots, I know I could do a simple crosswind landing. But if the winds are, you know, gusting up to, say, 22 knots, that might be above my structural load of the aircraft. And I'd have to say, no, I have to either stick to 27 or go find an alternate.
Alternates include Fond du Lac, Appleton, and Green Bay airports. And once the event is underway, storms become the bigger issue. A chairman for admission at Camp Scholler says...
Usually there'll be a bunch of people that'll fly out and try to get away from the storm. But a majority of the people, the evacuation shelter is actually the museum.
And it's happened before.
And a couple of years ago, when there was a frontal system that came through that was threatening some tornadoes, there's a combo line of airplanes that took off out of that airport and all headed to the south.
And some pilots decide to stay and tie down their planes.
An airplane, when you get a 30-mile-an-hour wind coming across the wing, they'll flip right over as soon as they get wind under them.
Advice from pilots when severe weather strikes.
I have seen where people will take blankets and kind of wrap the wings up to protect from any possible hail damage or anything of that nature. But they'll stay there and, you know, camp it out throughout the storms.
Speakers were also recently added to warn of any incoming bad weather. So if you're headed there in a camper this year.
The front of my camper, I was in the bed part of the camper, and the front of the camper actually was lifting up. It was like 45-mile-an-hour winds, and then the guy that was like two stalls away from me, I told him, I says, base your camper east-west. He goes, no. He says, so I'm going to put it along the backside. And that thing just about tipped over.
Now you know the tips and tricks to stay safe in Oshkosh this week and all that goes into the planes and pilots that are arriving there. And if you're headed there for just the day, a poncho or umbrella is your best bet. And be sure to text Osh Alert so that you stay safe and weather savvy. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
EAA gets underway tomorrow. Planes are arriving at Whitman Field, and WISS will be there. Our morning show, Mino and the Mayor, will broadcast live from EAA Tuesday and Thursday from 6 until 9 a.m. on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Coming up on New Wisco Weekend, veterans and PTSD. And our cover story, a behind-the-scenes look at EAA with Terry Barr.
Go ahead and add Steve Miller Band to your EAA playlist. New Wisco Weekend continues after a news update.
Thank you for joining us on New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine with stories from around Northeast Wisconsin. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. We now take you to our cover story. If you're hearing and seeing more planes than usual, the EAA Air Venture Fly-In begins tomorrow in Oshkosh. And between all of the planes and the people, it can be a lot of ground to cover. Where should you start? What is a must-see? Our Terry Barr takes us behind the scenes by talking with someone who's attended close to 40 fly-ins. He's a longtime local TV photojournalist and now an EAA volunteer and shares his favorite things about EAA. Here's Terry Barr.
I want to welcome a great friend and also retired photojournalist, of which I must reveal, he and I did have a wonderful opportunity to work together for many years. And please welcome with me, Mike Kearns. Mike, thanks so much for joining me.
It is marvelous. This is great.
You know, you and I go back to EAA, let's see, 1990 through about 2000. When you think about covering EAA, what do you remember and think about it?
It's obviously the experiences. I've done about 34 of them. Every year is the same, but every year is different. From that period, from the 90s into the 2000s, was kind of a breakthrough in a lot of aviation. Not that I'm an aviation nut at all, but I just enjoy
it. You kind of end up having to be, though, don't you?
You have to be, otherwise you run out of the grounds, but spectacular show that takes place there every year. I mean, not only the show, but the convention itself. You know, you see people that are just so immersed in aviation that it just is a marvel every year.
Do you have a favorite memory if you had to think about something that you covered as a photojournalist?
I would say from a event standpoint, probably the flight of the Concorde. Brian Knock, yes. He and I got to fly the Concorde from Toronto to Oshkosh. I believe it was in 1994.
I have photos.
Yeah, so do I.
Oh my gosh. I don't have photos on it. I only have photos of it flying in and out, and you were on it.
Yeah. It, you know, when you talk to people these days and say, oh, I flew the Concorde, they're going, get out. You know, no way. But it was just a sliver of an opportunity that happened. You know, off we went to Toronto and spent the day there and flew back on the fastest flying commercial aircraft ever.
I can't even imagine what a joy that must have been. And then I think what people don't often know in news, it was a fun day for you, but then you still had to turn around and do a story that had to make it on air that day.
You know, you probably lost sight of that, you know, while you're caught up in the flight itself. That's my all-time best. Others were like, you know, you meet a lot of celebrities, John Denver, John Travolta, Harrison Ford, many, many more. And they are true aviators in their own right, or were. But then the aviators themselves, you know, the Tuskegee Airmen were just phenomenal. There aren't many, or I don't know if any are left, but it was amazing.
Quite the stories that everyone has to tell and what brings them there and why. And, you know, I guess I think about us doing that. And obviously you and I got to work together quite a few times. So lucky to do that kind of thing.
You know, and we just took it for granted. You know, it's every year, oh, our, you know, here's our passes. Let's go down to EAA. And it's like going to the Super Bowl every year for aviation.
So what do you think surprises someone? Maybe, I don't know, the first time that they actually go to the fly-in. I just want to, you know, say a couple of the numbers here, which always blows me away. 600,000 people attend. 80 nations are represented. 15,000 planes and over acres and acres of ground. Now, what else would surprise people aside of all of that?
I volunteered last year for the first time after not being there for 14 years. The expansion of the camping area was just so I don't think people realize how many people are there, you know, camping either in a nice, comfortable RV, in a tent, under a wing, any of that.
People camping under the wing. I had forgotten about how many people we saw doing that.
Right. You roll up to them and, hey, tell me about your plane. And sometimes that became the story. We were there when we worked together early enough in the morning that we were able to spot things that maybe got a little convoluted during the rest of the day.
Because it got so busy.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I love that time of the day that we were there, even though it was, you know, a long, long day for a lot of the days.
Thinking back to those early mornings and the sun is coming up, that really was my favorite time to be there. It's just kind of as everyone was waking up and moving around and just getting ready for that day. And we were able to sort of be there and document it as the day got underway. I loved that.
Right. That was it was a great time of the day.
Oh my gosh. And I think when I was working with you, I had the wonderful opportunity to ride in an open air ultralight.
Right.
And that was a little frightening, but I'm so glad I did it.
Right. Because they could only fly in the early morning or the late afternoon. That was great. I get to go up a couple times myself in those.
Tell me more about you as a volunteer.
Dick Nepinski, the communications director down there, posted, hey, we need some volunteers in the media center. And it took me about 30 seconds to say, wow, I haven't been down there for a long time. I can do this. So I ended up driving a golf cart. And what they do now that they didn't do when we were there, not that we would have necessarily taken advantage of it, but if somebody comes in and have to, media-wise, has to park way out in the back 40, let's say, they call, said, I need a ride in,
yeah.
Go out there, pick them up, 2, 3, 4 at a time, bring them back to the media center. And what I liked about that is it reacquainted me with all the grounds that I used to traipse over in a golf cart back when we used to do it.
I love that story.
Everything seemed the same, but it was different in the terms of, you know, the people there. Going back to, you know, the media coverage of it, we would have, you know, local TV stations, the national news would show up, trade publications. But now, I mean, everybody's a journalist. And I'm not saying that's a negative thing, but you can get in there as a journalist, just if you have a blog, if you have a podcast, and there's so much more of that going on. And that only adds to the exposure of EAA.
from either standpoint of how you've been at EAA, if someone could only go for maybe one day or one afternoon, what is the highlight? What do they need to do, Mike?
I would say if you're going to spend a day, you get there as early as possible, walk the grounds. You look at the airplanes. There are so many different kinds, the vintage planes, the warbirds, all those classic airplanes. From then, you wait for the air show, usually kicked off by the warbirds, the formations, and just all the military planes that they put up. And you wait for that. And if you haven't gotten your fill by the end of that air show, then come back the next day. It's like the Smithsonian. You can't do it all in one day.
I think you hit the best highlights, though, in a day. If that's really all you have, that was a perfect setup.
It's about airplanes. It's about, you know, and pilots. Go up to the wing of somebody that's by their plane, strike up a conversation. They're more than willing to talk because that's their pride and joy.
Mike, thank you so much. Again, Mike Kearns, a retired photojournalist, really still a good friend. Mike, thanks for your time.
Terry will bring you updates from EAA and a daily list of events all throughout the week. You can also find out more at EAA.org.
All my bags are packed, I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye.
Over the past several years, mental health has become more of a focus for those inside of the military and outside of it as well. Joe Olick, Director of Veteran Services for Brown County, says post-traumatic stress disorder can come from a variety of things, not just from combat situations.
You could see a car accident. I witnessed one when I was in the Air Force, a head-on collision, first one on the scene. That's traumatic. I had a veteran that... His buddy was electrocuted in front of him in the Navy. So different things like that. Another veteran, two destroyers ran into each other, cut the boat in half, watched, 20 of his friends go into the ocean and never come back.
Olick says many veterans are resistant to asking for help. However, not talking about PTSD only makes it worse.
You don't have to come to the office. You don't have to make that arduous appointment. We do about 90% of our stuff right over the phone, file claims over the phone. We make it as easy as possible because I know the hurdles that veterans go through. So if they can sit in their easy chair at home, call a phone number, file a claim, that's one less hurdle.
Mental health support and healing from PTSD is not something that can be cured with one appointment or a single pill, says Olick.
It's not like a cut on your finger where you can get healed in a week. This is an onion you have to unravel, and you got to take time at it and consistency. Individuals think they'll go to counseling and it's going to happen right away. You just got to be patient. It takes time to work through those things.
The Brown County Office of Veterans Services acts as an ombudsman for connecting veterans and the services available to them in Wisconsin and in Brown County.
When they, have an issue or you see someone struggling, we're the resource. We know how to hook them up to the Green Bay Vet Center. We know how to hook them up to the VA healthcare system. And we're fellow veterans too. We do a lot of counseling in our office, not because we're counselors, but we're fellow veterans.
Olick says many of the services offered in his office can be completed over the phone.
You don't have to come to the office. You don't have to make that arduous appointment. We do about 90% of our stuff right over the phone, file claims over the phone. We make it as easy as possible because I know the hurdles that veterans go through. So if they can sit in their easy chair at home, call a phone number, file a claim, that's one less hurdle.
For information about Veterans Services in Brown County, call 920-448-4450. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health crisis or is suicidal, please call the Suicide and Crisis Hotline at 988.
I'm a leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again.
Make sure and follow WISS on Facebook. Search for Oshkosh Air Support. Like us and share us. This is New Wisco Weekend.
Every time anyone from WISS is out and about in New Wisco, we like to offer people the opportunity to share what they're excited about, their story, the things they're passionate about, their truth, whether good or bad. We call it the WISS Truth Booth. Last month, we caught up with Everest at Oshkosh Pride, who discussed his journey through queerness.
I guess kind of when I was younger, I always knew I was different. And then when I was in, I think, sixth grade, I realized that I was queer. So then I guess from then, it's been like the whole wishwash journey. You know, like the experimentation and stuff. Like figuring out who I am. And I guess Pride is just kind of embracing who I am and like the community. My family was just kind of like, yeah, okay, cool, that's cool. It's like pretty all right. Same with most of my friends. None of my friends were really like unaccepting or anything. I guess more the public in general, like the kids at school, like the popular girls would like turn and look away and like, you know, the standard homophobic bullying.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Todd Michaels, helping you put together a little playlist for EAA this week. And I'm not sure you can put together any playlist without including a little disco. It's plain and simple. You got to have some. Silver Connection, Fly Robin Fly.
Up in a moment, Terry Barr takes us on a musical journey with the indie rock band The Big Lonesome.
If you have an idea for a story for New Wisco Weekend, reach out. Contact Lisa Hale, lisa.hale@civicmedia.us. This is New Wisco Weekend on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Keep it here and keep dancing. I know you are.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale. The Big Lonesome is a Boston-based band, and though some of their music is influenced by New England, they tell Terry Barr they love Wisconsin. The Big Lonesome is on tour now in support of a new album. Terry shares more after we get a sample of their song, The Boxer.
When I think about it now, the memory seems to come and go. Fading in and out of my mind, someone else. I recall how the windows shake, and I lost control of my tongue.
Join me in welcoming Chad Goslin from the Big Lonesome Band. Chad, it is so great to be able to chat with you.
Yeah, you too, Terry.
We just heard The Boxer. Can you tell me what it's about?
A lot of these songs kind of were written during the pandemic. The song is literally about some of the harmful impact I've noticed that I can have on people without even meaning to.
This is your fourth album, yeah. And you are on tour now. This includes three stops in Wisconsin. Have you been to Wisconsin before?
Yeah. We started playing out there about 7 years ago.
You are actually traveling from Georgia south up to Canada.
Yeah, we like to get around. Before COVID, we used to travel quite a bit. So, like, I'm used to, I don't know, we kind of had a wide swath. this is actually shrinking down a little bit, believe it or not.
You're based in Boston. Does the city have any kind of influence on you as a musician?
Band name kind of comes from that originally, that feeling of, we grew up like kind of right in the suburbs of Boston, like, so it was like 10 miles out, but might as well be like 300 miles away at the same time. Sometimes we always felt like a connection and a disconnect at the same time, if that makes sense. I love Boston. I feel like when I've traveled more, like it's really kind of cool to come back home. Like there's things that I didn't realize I liked that are so unique and awesome about this place.
Are you a two or three piece on tour right now?
We are kind of doing a little bit of a mix of things. It used to be a four-piece, but we dropped down to a two-piece post-COVID. Two of us wanted to get back to touring, and we've kind of reworked our set as a duo and have had an absolute blast doing that. But the fun thing about that is we have a lot of guest musicians and friends sitting with us, so our set tends to be different depending on where you catch us, which I think is kind of some of the excitement.
I am amazed that as a band, you can go from being a four-piece to being a three, to being a two. I mean, I guess that's talent.
It is a challenge. It's fun, though. Doing a duo is a lot harder than I expected. Like, we had to change a lot of the way that we approach the songs. We now kind of just view it as like, this is our songbook. We can kind of do this any way we want to do it, right? Like, yeah, and that has made it more fun. I think, like, approaching the songs in different ways every night has been a really fun challenge for us.
Do you still pull from your old albums, too?
We do, yeah. So we, Andy, the drummer, and I, we can, well, he's much more than a drummer at this point. He plays keyboards, he sings. So I'd always say that he looks like he's doing a stupid human trick on stage. It's pretty great. We can do pretty much all the material this way. There's a couple things that don't sound as they do on some of the older records, but that's even kind of fun to us, too, is just revisiting it.
You also quit your job as a music teacher? Is this true?
That is correct. Correct. Yeah, I am still a music teacher again, but I work for myself now. I run a private practice now, which is very fun, very, very rewarding for me. Actually, I used to be a public school teacher, and I had the hardest time fitting in. Art has a hard time placing rules around it.
I'm glad you're still sharing your talent, though, and it sounds like it's much more fun the way you're doing it.
Yeah, it's a lot more fun. I can do stuff that I believe in, like 100%. Yeah, it's great. I feel being a private teacher, I feel like I could develop more of a relationship with people. Like, well, in a public school setting, it's a little bit more of like, all right, I don't want to cross boundaries, but this way I can get a lot closer to the families, the parents, everything. Like, yes. It's wonderful.
I am talking with Chad Goslin right now. He is with the Big Lonesome, and they are going to be out on tour. Boy, a good chunk of this summer now. Here's something else that I read. I believe this was in the band's bio, and it made me laugh, so I have to ask you about it. You appreciate long walks on the beach or photos of cats?
Yeah.
So you have good humor, so tell me about that.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes, you know, I've rewritten our bio so many times, and this time through, maybe it probably even comes from writing such a heavy record, but I just didn't want to be so serious this time. I was like, I wanted to see if that caught anyone's eye.
And there is a picture of you with a cat on the website.
Yeah. I'm a cat maniac. I have three cats that I wish could come with me. Unfortunately, they do not travel well.
Oh, well, they'll be waiting for you when you get back. That's always the nice thing.
Absolutely. On our Instagram, we take a short video of every cute kitty cat we meet on tour. So if you're a cat lover, you can see our tour blog of cats.
We are going to leave this interview with your song About Last Night.
It's sort of about relationships and the difficulties. If there's something in your life that is just not serving you, you don't have to do that. Some things are just an illusion. I give you permission to do whatever makes you happy.
Thank you.
you for being a part of New Wisco Weekend, your look at the stories and issues facing Northeast Wisconsin. New Wisco Weekend is produced by Todd Michaels, written and directed by Lisa Hale. Features correspondents Terry Barr, Brittany Merlot, Conrad Krieger, and Amanda Nimmer. Special appearances this week by Pete Schwabe and Todd Michaels. If you have a story you'd like to hear covered, please feel free to email it to me at any time. lisa.hale@civicmedia.us. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS News and New Wisco Weekend. Be unstoppable.